You're listening to Benefit from the Bible.
Dear friends in Jesus Christ, we come today to part three of our God with Us Advent Christmas series. As I go back and review a little bit of what we covered already, keep in mind that even long before the Son of God put on human flesh, he was with the Father. And then the Bible tells us that God the Father took action to create everything through the Son or in conjunction with the Son. And in fact, there was nothing of all that was created that was not done in connection with God the Son. Also, too, we saw in the series earlier that the very Son of God, when he came as the Savior, he would be a future descendant of Abraham. Also important in the whole series as we move closer and closer to the birth of Jesus. Today, we come to two prophecies regarding John the Baptizer, and he was the one that was sent by God to prepare the way for Jesus. If you have a copy of our brochure with you, you can follow along with me here for a moment. If you don't, I hope you have a copy at home, and if you don't, there are some copies available in the back. But if you go to the inside for a moment, looking at the two timelines, you'll see today that we are focusing on the number threes. So we actually have three of them. We have one on the upper timeline. You can see there about three quarters of the way over, right next to the name Isaiah, we have one number three. And then on the bottom timeline, we have two number threes, and those are the two sections that begin the lower timeline, that begin that two-year period of time from what we're focusing on today all the way through when finally Joseph, Mary, and Jesus end up returning from Egypt and settle in Nazareth. So we're going to focus more on those as we go through the sermon today. Going to point one today, we look first of all at God speaking through Isaiah to tell in advance about John. In this section, we turn to the Gospel of Mark. This is, in fact, the only reference to the Gospel of Mark in this entire series, which is focusing on all the different Gospel readings that connect in with things surrounding our Savior's birth. Not much in Mark, but here, though, we do focus on this section that Mark is quoting from the prophet Isaiah. So going to Mark chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, "It is written in Isaiah the prophet, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.'" So what does that mean? Well, let's go back there and look now. I will send my messenger. Who is sending his messenger? Who is a messenger? God the Father is sending his messenger, and his messenger is John the Baptizer. And then it says, God the Father is sending the messenger ahead of you. Who is he talking to? We have God the Father here talking to God the Son. I, God the Father, will send my messenger, John the Baptizer, ahead of you, my Son. So that's what he's stating. And then what is he going to be described as? A voice calling in the desert. That is a place where John the Baptizer did his preaching and did his baptizing in the desert. And then what is he going to say? He's going to say, prepare the way for the Lord. In other words, for the Lord Jesus, make straight paths for him. I alluded to this, I think last Wednesday a little bit, maybe more so on Sunday, when a king was going to travel throughout his kingdom, there would be people sent ahead of the king, and they would go from village to village and city to city, and they would basically announce that the king was coming, so they would tell the people, hey, get the garbage cleaned up in the streets, put on your good clothes, wash your windows, get everything ready, the king is coming. The idea of John the Baptizer was that people needed to get cleaned up, not so much on the outside, but on the inside. God's calling all of us to be repentant. It means to be honest about the Word of God in our own lives. And wherever there is a difference, that is reason for repentance. So repentance would be to acknowledge that there is a difference, to be sorry that there is a difference, to look to Jesus Christ, knowing that we have his forgiveness because of the difference, and then the joy of that forgiveness that moves us to have the desire within us to go and sin no more. Going to Luke chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, in the time of Herod. Now, Herod here is not to be confused with Herod in Jesus' day, where Jesus was taken before Herod in connection with him being taken also to Pilate, but this would be Herod the Great. So this would be the father of the other Herod. So Herod the Great, king of Judea, he reigned as king from 37 to 1 BC. So for 36 years he was reigning, and that was the time when this angel appears to Zechariah. That was the time when Herod the Great, when he was reigning. So in the time of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all of God's commandments and regulations blamelessly. Let's think about that now. Does that mean that they lived without sin? Well, we know that can't be true because the Bible says that all have sinned, or the Bible says there is none righteous, not even one. So it can't mean that they are without sin. The Bible does make it clear, though, in Hebrews chapter 4, that only our Lord Jesus Christ, only he was tempted in every way, yet was without sin. So he is the sinless one. We are all sinners, and that would also include Zechariah and Elizabeth. So what does this mean that they were blameless? Let's understand it to mean that they were looking for the coming Messiah. They had saving faith, and therefore, in the sight of God, not in reality. See it there in verse 6? Both of them were upright in the sight of God. So God saw them to be without sin. God saw them to be blameless. It's not a reality about them. None of us as human beings are without sin, but God saw them that way because of their faith in the Savior yet to come. Going on to verse 7, it says, but they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, thus unable to have children, and they were both well along in years. So what could we say about them? They desired to have children, but yet Elizabeth was unable, and both of them, I think we could say based on what the text says, they were past the childbearing years. Going on to the next section, picking up in verse 8, the Bible tells us, once when Zechariah's division, so you might have caught earlier, it talked about how he was of the division of Abijah. And if you look into the Old Testament, you will find that there were 24 different divisions set out, and Abijah was one of those 24 divisions. So when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Let me first of all address the idea of being chosen by lot. That means that you're taking the human element completely out of the choice. So we're simply saying, they were simply saying back then, Lord, we have all these different men who could serve at this particular time. So by lot, we are asking you, Lord, to identify which man will serve at this specific time. So they put it completely to the Lord, and the Lord identifies Zechariah to be the one to serve at that particular time. I want to go on here and talk a little bit more about this division of Abijah, and also I want to talk at the same time about the way the timeline is set out here at the bottom. If you're looking at your brochure, you might notice that in the first number 3 on the bottom, we're taking a look at the account right now that we're looking at in the Bible, from the angel coming to Zechariah and talking about how his wife would conceive. And then in the second part, we're seeing when she actually did conceive. So you might notice here that with the first section, we're looking at May of the year 6 BC and then June of the year 6 BC. Where are we getting those numbers from? I want to read to you a short section in this book, Unlocking the Secrets of the Feasts. Going here to page 90, it says, "Each order of priests served for 1 week and during the weeks of the pilgrimage feasts. Each one of the 24 orders of priests would begin and end its service in the temple on the Sabbath. Starting with the month of Nisan, that would be the first month on the Hebrew calendar, we can figure that Zacharias was serving the 10th week of the year because he, in other words, those in this division of Abijah, had the 8th cycle of temple service, as well as the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of Pentecost." What does all that mean? It's confusing, isn't it? But it goes on to say, though, that would mean that John the Baptist was probably conceived about the 3rd week of Sivan. That was one of the months on the Hebrew calendar, 3rd week of Sivan, when Zacharias returned home. So what month would that be then? That would be our month of either June or July. So as you can see here on the bottom of the timeline, we're looking at May when the angel appeared to Zechariah, and then he goes home right after he finishes his service. And now I have marked in the month of June that now Elizabeth is conceiving John the Baptizer. Okay, going on to verse 10 then. It says, "And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him," in other words, to Zechariah, "standing at the right side of the altar of incense." Like I said to the children this morning, can you imagine? You're Zechariah, you're in the temple, you're there by yourself, you're burning the incense, and all of a sudden, you have an angel standing right to your right. That would be pretty startling, wouldn't it? Well, that's what he experienced there. So it says, "When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard.'" What prayer would that be? Zechariah was praying for what? For a child. Even though he is older, even though his wife is older, even though his wife has been unable to have children, he is still praying that God would grant them a child. So Zechariah believed that God is the Almighty God. He believed that God can do anything, so he was continuing to pray in that way. And then it says, "Your wife Elizabeth," and we could add here, "though she is very old and though she is barren, will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink." As we read that statement, that takes us back to Samson and Samuel, who lived before John. So John, like Samson and Samuel, they lived as a Nazarite. You can find out more about that in the Bible if you want to look up those sections. I put the references here in the sermon copy. So he's never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. "Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So what was going on at that time in history? Even though we're talking about God's chosen people, God had chosen them, but for the most part, they had rejected the Almighty God. They were looking to other gods. They were looking to their own goodness. They were looking to, how can I put it? Maybe we could say they were looking for salvation in all the wrong places. The people were so far from the truth. So John is sent in order to be an Elijah type of prophet who would prepare the people for the Messiah by doing what? By calling them to repent. Going to verse 18, we pick up with our text. It says, Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel Gabriel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." So imagine for a moment being Zechariah. And we don't know quite how old he was, but let's say, for example, he was 80 years old. So can you imagine even this awesome holy angel appearing to you, and he tells you, "Hey, God has heard your prayer, and your wife is going to have a baby, and your wife is also 80 years old." Would you say, "Well, okay, God said it, it's going to happen"? Wouldn't it seem pretty impossible that that could ever happen? Even though he was praying for a child, it just seemed like so far beyond what was really going to happen. So he doubts it. Did you notice the angel's answer? "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God." Just try to imagine a little bit. You could go to like Isaiah chapter 6 or in the book of Revelation in chapters 4 and 5. But to get this vision of the throne room in heaven and what an awesome place it is, and the Almighty God there, and just a vast multitude of holy angels there shouting, "Holy, holy, holy," and so much more. And finally, the Almighty God points and says, "Gabriel, come over here." And then he gives Gabriel the message and says, "I want you to go down and talk to Zechariah and let him know that I have heard his prayer, and that his wife Elizabeth, regardless of how old she is going to have a son, and he's going to be one of the most significant sons ever born to any woman in the world." So what is Gabriel's job? Angels are messengers. So he takes that message to Zechariah. So even though Zechariah, he hasn't seen that scene, he doesn't know much about that, but Gabriel, he's been there. He's been in the presence of God. He knows all about God, and he's coming with great authority. And it's a shame that Zechariah didn't believe him initially, but yet, still, even though he doubted, God granted what he said he would grant. But then we see, though, that Zechariah is not able to speak, and he was not able to speak until finally the day when John was circumcised and named John. Going on to verse 21, the Bible says, "Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple." So we don't quite know the details here, but there must have been kind of a usual time where the priest would go in, kind of in there a certain amount of time. Okay, now he's coming back out. That's normal. But Zechariah, he was like on overtime. He was in there. They're wondering, well, what happened to him? Is he okay? But no one else would go in and find out. So they're just waiting and waiting and waiting. They knew something was different here. And then the Bible says, when he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. Imagine if you were given the most monumental news that you would ever get in your entire life, and then right at that moment, you could not speak. You talk about being frustrated, and it wasn't like he could sit down at his computer and he could type out the whole story, and then he could hand it out to all of his friends. So imagine Zechariah, after encountering the angel, after hearing the promise, after hearing about John and what an important person he would be in leading the way for the Messiah, and now he's not able to say anything. So he's trying to do some kind of sign language, and yet he didn't know sign language, and they didn't know sign language, and he's probably just waving his arms and doing all kinds of crazy things, and yet it had to be so frustrating for him, knowing what he knew, and yet not being able to communicate that information. But think about us, so how blessed we are. Think about the wonderful things that we know, and think about the ability we have to speak. We should take advantage of that ability to speak. If you want someone else to know about the account today, share a copy of the sermon with them. Give them a copy of the brochure. Lead them to our website so they can listen to this sermon, even that's being preached at this time. So God wants us to take advantage of the opportunities we have. We are not in the situation of Zechariah. It goes on in verse 23 and says, when his time of service was completed, so probably after finishing out that week of service, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among his people. I want to share with you a promise that the Lord made through Moses to the people. Now, this would have been about 1,400 years before the time of Zechariah, but yet it was made to the descendants of Abraham. So this was a promise that they were still claiming in the days of Zechariah. The Lord said, worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you, and none will miscarry or be barren in your land. So God promised all of them children, and here is Elizabeth with no children, and she's an old woman, and she's never been able to have a child. Can you imagine what people were thinking about her? I would put her in the category of Job. Remember Job's friends? Job's friends were trying to help him, and they weren't much help. But basically, they were saying to him, Job, we can see your great suffering. So even though you're telling us that you're upright in the sight of God, we're not buying that story. You must have done something pretty bad, or you would not be suffering the way you are. Can you imagine all the people who knew Elizabeth? They're thinking, you seem to be a godly woman, but there's got to be something going on here behind the scenes that we don't know about, where you are insulting the Almighty God, and therefore he's not permitting you to have a child. Can you imagine people thinking in that way about her? Because it would all kind of add up that they're expecting the blessing of a child, and yet she has no blessing. Somehow that must be her fault. Sometimes we can reason like that today too, and yet we get ourselves into trouble. We could go to like John chapter 9, for example, where the disciples of Jesus, when they encounter the man who was born blind, they speak up and say, Jesus, tell us here, is a man blind because of his sins or because of the sins of his parents? And Jesus says, it is neither. It is for God's glory. Why was Elizabeth barren? Was it her own fault? It wasn't. It was for God's glory, so that in her old age, when it was completely unexpected, God could allow her to get pregnant and have again one of the most important children ever born in the entire world. Also, too, it said there in the text that Elizabeth remained in seclusion for 5 months. Why would that be? Well, you can imagine all the ridicule that she might have received in her life, and she probably said to herself, I'm not going to go out in public until finally I've got something to show to them. In other words, she's like, I'm just going to stay back, and by the time I step out there at 5 months, they're going to know that God has blessed me in an unbelievable way. Also, too, you might have picked up, though, in verse 25, she said, the Lord has done this for me. So right away, she's giving the glory to God. But again, she didn't share her situation with the public until 5 months later. Can you imagine at 1 month if she would have gone out and said, "You're not going to believe this, I'm pregnant." But when she was finally showing at 5 months, they could not deny it at that point. Well, thinking about our timelines, let me give you a quick review here as we conclude today. We have moved from before creation to creation itself, to the fall into sin, to the general promise of the Savior given to Adam and Eve, to the specific promise to Abraham, to Isaiah's prophecy about John the Baptizer, to the angel's message to Zechariah, and finally now to Elizabeth becoming pregnant with John the Baptizer. As we think about this awesome plan that God has laid out, not only to create us, but to save us, let us just marvel at how awesome God is, how wonderful his plan is, how much he loves us, and let us know that ultimately, through Jesus, we have God's forgiveness, and therefore we have God's gift of eternal life. Finally, I invite you to join us this Sunday as we go to the angelic message regarding our Lord Jesus Christ, and also as we take another more brief look, connecting the dots from Jesus all the way back to the Almighty God. I hope you join us. And all God's people said, Amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a Bible-teaching church, come and join us at 7500 State Road in Parma. See our website for our current schedule. Go to BenefitFromTheBible.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.